Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you. We've got a new guest coming up. Can't wait to introduce him. And he's got a brand new book on deception. We'll get to that in a minute. But I want to mention good news about the Worldview Matters Conference. It's coming up May 1st and 2nd in Green Bay at the Delta Hotel. We are past the 50% mark as far as the registration, the ticket sales. So it's going very, very well. Just thank you for your prayers and support on that. And if you have any questions at all, go to worldviewmattersconference.com. If you have still more questions, just get a hold of us here. So, friends, I'm excited to bring in a new guest, Brad Reeves, Dr. Brad Reeves. He's a pastor, an author, a missionary, and prophetic teacher dedicated to equipping the church to stand firm in an age of deception. That's why we love him already. He's the founder of Coming Soon Ministries, and he serves as a senior pastor of Crossway Christian Fellowship in Hagerstown, Maryland. That's mycrossway.org. Brad also leads mission work in West Africa, and he worked in law enforcement as a Maryland state trooper. I'd love to get his perspective on a future show on what's going on in America with law and order, immigration, ICE, but that's for a future podcast. He's the author of a great book called The Beast System Unleashed, AI, the Antichrist, and the End Times. In his brand new book, it's called End Times Deceptions, Using Biblical Truth to Understand the Last Days. And that's what we're going to talk about today with Dr. Brad Reeves. Brother, thank you so much for your time. Good to have you on.
Well, David, thank you so much for having me on. And I just want to say how much I respect the work you do. And please keep it up. We need voices like you out there.
Thank you, sir. Lord willing, we'll keep it up as long as there's breath in my lungs and, you know, free speech in America. Even if there weren't free speech in America, we must obey God, not man, and keep speaking Amen. About the things we have seen and heard, like the apostles said. Amen. But brother, before we get into your new book, I find your previous book, and we were going to talk about that. Talk to us about The Beast System Unleashed. This is fascinating, and I know it's doing very well on Amazon. So talk to us a little bit about that, and then we'll move on to the new one.
Well, I wrote The Beast System Unleashed kind of, out of a whim. I just started to have a conversation with AI, ChatGPT, about what is the connections between artificial intelligence and the emerging coming of artificial intelligence, especially with quantum computing on the verge of being rolled out into a commercial or a setting for public use. What were the implications of this in the forming of the Antichrist system as far as surveillance and the beast system that would come about that Revelation 13 talks about? And it turned into this huge conversation where I was astounded at the level of connectivity that ChatGPT was making with Revelation 13. And in some aspects of it, it was gleeful. It was excited about what AI could be doing to bring about the beast system, the mark of the beast, global surveillance, all of this. And it rolls it out just so quickly. And so some of the book contains that conversation that I had with ChatGPT as far as what it was saying. And it goes into a lot of detail about how AI will eventually, according to what it says, be used by a single global dictator to control the masses. And so I decided, hey, this has got to be rolled out even more deeply than just me writing an article or something about it. And it turned into this book. And really, David, when I wrote the book, I wrote that book, my first book, may I say, in probably a little more than a month, which is pretty remarable. I've done a lot of writing.
That's amazing.
I have my doctorate and stuff. So, I mean, I've done a lot of writing, but this came so easily. And so I give credit to the Holy Spirit on that and the guidance of the Lord. And he's just blessed the work. And it's gotten the attention of a lot of people. It's doing well on Amazon. It's been in the top brackets of some categories at times. You know how awesome. Amazon goes, you're up one day and down the other. But, you know, for a guy that's just, I'm just a pastor. I'm just a guy in a small town of Maryland, and God's taken it and used it and blessed it. And I've received a lot of feedback, a lot of good feedback from people who have appreciated the work.
Well, please don't minimize your role as a pastor, because there are a lot of pastors and there are way too many pastors of Christian churches who do not uphold the biblical worldview or inerrancy or so many other things that are essentials of the faith. And you are part of the remnant in America. Mm-hmm. And so praise God for your voice and what you're doing. So let's transition now to the new book. And deception is rampant. And in fact, at the beginning of this year, and this is not a word from God, but I always sensed this is going to be one of the words for the year for the body of Christ, discernment. And I've been saying that since our first show in January this year. So end times deceptions using biblical truth to understand the last days. One of the things you say, you argue that the greatest danger in the last days is not persecution, but deception, as biblical discernment is abandoned. Let's just start there, Brad, and your concerns as we move into the book.
Well, David, it's not just my argument. It's what the Bible says the end days are going to be like, right? Because, and Jesus warns us about this in the Mount Olivet discourse and in his teachings and parables. He repeats many times throughout his teachings, see to it you are not deceived. Let no one deceive you. Paul talks about this in his letters to Timothy. He talks about that one of the characteristics of the end times isn't going to be a great revival, but an apostate church, a church that is deceived, heresies. And as you and I both are observing happening in the church, and as you just mentioned, there are so many pastors out there who don't know Scripture, who don't understand what prophecy is, what the Bible talks about as the end times. I think you just had David Bowen on your show a couple of weeks ago, super, super interview, and he outlines this. 2% of churches are even talking about prophetic events in an age where we are seeing prophecy unfold before us in ways we have never imagined before. You know, 10 years ago, if you had described today's world, no one would believe us. And here we are. We're watching, anti-Semitism, as our friend Olivier Melnick likes to point out, it's beyond the days of what it was in prior to World War II. We have wars. We have rumors of wars. We have immorality that seems to take charge of morality. There's been this inversion that has happened in our society. And at the same time, the church is ignorant to the very basics of Scripture. And one of the things that came out of the beast system unleashed was the lack of understanding among people about what the end times are, the very basics of the beast system, the mark of the beast. And the realization came to me, David, that a lot of believers don't know Scripture.
Yeah.
They don't understand these basics. Yeah. And they're tuning to what I call YouTube prophets and so on and so forth that are looking at the world around us and discerning the days, not through the lens of Scripture, but through the lens of their own beliefs or their own preferences.
Yep. By the way, for those of you listening on audio, we're using air quotes on prophets, YouTube prophets. I think I've used air quotes three times already. Pastors, Christian churches, prophets. Okay. So we've got video, we've got audio platforms. I have to explain the air quotes. But isn't that sad? And by the way, Barna, Pew, Gallup, all the research and the surveys, they say the same thing. And here's where we are. The biblical illiteracy, not just of Americans. We can't expect people who've never read the Bible to know the essentials or the biblical worldview, but in the church. So, Brad, I know this is slightly off topic, but I want to go there. You're a pastor. You're writing about these things. How do you think we got here? I know it was gradual, where the churches are not up to speed on, I don't want to say the essentials, but things like Bible prophecy and some of the most controversial issues? Is it because pastors don't want to address them? Is it because seminaries have changed and they don't teach inerrancy and things like that? Go ahead, your thoughts real quick.
Well, yes to both of those. We've watched our seminaries really become dismantled as far as teaching good hermeneutics, good biblical theology, eschatology. I say, and I'm going to lay the blame more so on the seeker-sensitive movement.
Yes.
And admittedly, I'm a pastor that came out of the seeker-sensitive movement. I was in a lot of circles. I'm not going to sit here and name names or point fingers, but I was associated with a lot of those guys who, in all reality, have good intentions, but they're not divinely led. And so the most important thing was build a empire, build a business model. And so what became more important was branding or, the bottom line numbers, how many people, nickels and noses kind of thing. How many people do you have in your seats? How do you keep them? Systems. This became more prevalent in the church than teaching scripture. I teach every week verse by verse through the Bible. We're going through the book of Luke right now. And Jesus says some things that in today's world could be pretty inflammatory. But I'm not to apologize for Jesus. I'm to teach what Jesus taught.
Amen.
And that's not seeker sensitive. And David, I have people that have left my church because I support Israel. I've had people leave my church because I speak on current events and end times. And that hurts.
Yeah.
As a pastor, you know, I care for people. I care for the well-being of people.
Yeah.
And so when someone says, well, I'm leaving your church because you have a flag, an Israeli flag in your sanctuary, that hurts. Mm. And, Olivier and I have a running tally right now, and it kind of sobering, but I'll text Olivier and I'll say, lost another one today. And it's a sad testament that replacement theology has become one of the prevalent theologies in the modern church. That has come out of the seeker-sensitive movement because we want to stay neutral.
Yep.
And Jesus never established the church to be neutral. He established the church to be to change the culture, to be salt and light in the world, not to let the world be salt and light in the church.
Amen to all that you said there, Brad. And give me the book, chapter, and verse on how Christians should be neutral. Or what did you say? How many people can we attract, or how do we keep them in our churches? Things you will not find in the Bible, right?
it's Matthew. I think it's Matthew 7:7, the most misquoted verse in all the Bible. Judge not, lest thou be judged, right? And that's what the Christian mantra is supposed to be. And there are people who know no other scripture in the Bible, but they can quote Matthew 7:7 very well.
Not in context, though.
No, but not in context, correct.
Right. That's part of the problem. So that's part of the deception. So that falls in line of what you're writing about. So you...
Right.
You do talk about replacement theology and dominion theology, distorting prophecy. You do talk about that in the new book. Before we go on to the next question, do you want to touch on those briefly? You already mentioned replacement theology. Just sad that we've got here, but it's not surprising with the biblical illiteracy, is it?
It's not. And, replacement theology is one of the sad chapters of our church today. And I know that not every church is subscribing in that. And so, I'm not throwing darts. I'm sounding an alarm, so to speak, to say replacement theology is not biblical. You can't read the Bible and come to the conclusion that God has replaced Israel with God has replaced the church. God has replaced Israel with the church. You can't reach that conclusion. You read a love story of God's covenant with his people. And how through his people, the church was born, and that love story continues. But the covenant that God made is everlasting.
Amen.
And I also address preterism, which again distorts eschatology in a very in a way that you can't align Bible. You have to take so much allegory and so much license with Scripture to reach the conclusions that preterism brings. But there are convincing arguments that if you don't know Scripture, you can come to that conclusion. And this is where I say, you know, there are end time deceptions. People that are very convincing, YouTube prophets that are very convincing, but at the end of the day, they're not bringing things from a biblical standpoint. They're bringing things from a preferential standpoint, something that sounds like something that connects dots, but these dots were never meant to be connected. And so I wrote this book as an answer to common questions, and I started out with that, but then it turned into, well, let's bring out the biblical outline of what Scripture is, what eschatology is, what does the Bible actually say about end times. These aren't my preferences. These aren't my assertions. These are sound biblical doctrines that arose directly from Scripture. And there are so many misconceptions, like, you know, the premillennialism or the rapture arose from a man named Darby. That's not true, and people don't understand this. But someone came along who was very popular that said Darby invented the rapture, and all of a sudden everybody believes that.
It's really sad. But we've got to keep things moving for the sake of time, Brad. Mm-hmm. Is the best place Amazon, or is there a link on your website at Coming Soon Ministries to get the book, or do you want to just send people directly to Amazon? What would you like?
The best place to go is to look up End Times Deceptions on Amazon. You can also put my name in, Brad Reeves. And I have, you know, that, The Beast System Unleashed, and a book about the Sermon on the Mount that came out of a series that we did on the Sermon on the Mount. And we converted that into a book that's called The Greatest Sermon Ever Told.
Awesome. Awesome. So I want to move fast here. The book addresses the redefinition of truth in modern evangelicalism. Touch on that briefly, please.
Well, you know, truth has become a relative term. And we live in a postmodern society, which means that truth can be held by whoever wants to hold the truth. And that's a far departure from what Scripture talks about. Scripture is truth. Jesus said, sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth, in his high priestly prayer. And so what I want is to take people back to the root of all things that we hold as true as believers. Because if we make truth relative, if we make Scripture relative, well, then what do we have to hold on to? Because when I open up the Word and I look in the Word, I find hope, I find healing, I find strength. I'm reminded that there's a God out there that loves us, that sent his Son to die for us on our behalf so that we could have our sins forgiven and reconciliation with him. And when the church departs from standing on the truth of God and standing on the Scripture of God as truth, well, then we've watered down the gospel to the point where we have nothing to hold on to.
It's sad to hear those words. We water down the gospel, that it's not the gospel anymore. It's weakened, it's watered. So talk to us, Brad, about cultural conformity within the church. I mean, this should be a no-brainer. I think of Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. But yet you can see Christians are human. We live in this place called America, and there are just a lot of lures and temptations, and a lot of believers, and some professing believers, but some true believers. It's not difficult to conform to the world, is it?
It's not, but not conforming to the world requires taking a stance. And that stance is costly. And Jesus talks about the fact that our following him will cost us something. It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I think, that wrote about the cost of discipleship and costly discipleship.
Yes.
And it's easy to form a religious movement. And this is ties back a lot to the seeker-sensitive movement, doesn't it? Where, you know, we can put on an entertainment show. I can get a guy in skinny jeans to give a 20-minute motivational speech on seven ways to be a better you and send you out the door to beat the Chinese buffet rush. But that's not costly. That's not transformative. That may motivate you. That may get you excited. That may, you know, and getting a little Jesus sprinkled on you may make you feel good. But to be transformative means that we're going to have to be willing to be countercultural. And this is where deception comes into play, because if we're not willing to be countercultural, then we're going to be willing to be deceived. And especially in these days, look, we've got Iran right now, as you and I are talking, that is being overridden, thankfully, I would say, by the U.S. military and the Israeli military. Meanwhile, they're sending ballistic missiles by the hundreds every day into Israel, but also their neighbors. This is prophetic news.
Yes.
And it may not be popular news. It may not be people, you know, no one's cheering for war, but we have to be able to discern and understand this has something of prophetic significance that we need to be aware of. As I said earlier in the show, Jesus called us to be aware of what's going on, not to panic. He said, don't be alarmed in Matthew 24:44. See to it that you're not alarmed, but look at what's going on and be aware. And this is, if you don't know the scriptures, if you don't know the very basics of eschatology and the end times theology, as I outline in the book, End Times Deceptions, then you're going to not be able to recognize when God is moving his prophetic hand and God is shaping the nations. Because, you know, the hope in all this, David, is that the world isn't falling apart. God isn't shaking the nations right now to cause harm. He's putting things together so that the kingdom of Christ can come and be realized. He's coming. All this is happening really because Jesus said to Israel, "You'll see me again when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" What an amazing thought that one day we the church are going to be riding behind him. He's going to be on a white horse coming through the clouds, and he's going to show up in Jerusalem, and all of Israel is going to proclaim Jesus as their Messiah. That thought alone, David, that thought alone brings so much joy and hope into my heart, because that's the plan of God. And all of these things happening today are God's reminders to us that he has a plan, and he is on the throne, and the world isn't flying apart in pieces. It's coming together so that that day happens. And that should be the hope and prayer and the expectant love of every believer, that we see that happen.
Amen. And I love the subtitle of your book, Using Biblical Truth to Understand the Last Days. We're in the last days. How many more of them will there be? We don't know. But we are definitely getting towards the end. We are in the last days. So, Brad, before we run out of time, I wanted to ask you this question, because a lot of people feel overwhelmed by world events, and it's hard for them to keep up or just look at what's happening, even in terms of Bible prophecy, maybe some. But how can believers grow in discernment and on the foundation of the Word of God without becoming cynical or jaded because of all that's going on?
Well, again, we put our hope. It's where our hope is placed. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the fulfillment of God's covenants. It began with Abraham and Moses and David, and those covenants are eternal, everlasting covenants that will not be changed. And the same God who made those promises to those people also made a promise to the church. And he said to the church, "I will be with you always, even until," what? The end of the age, yes. Right? Amen. So It can be scary to look at the world and read the news and see the missiles. And, you know, I've got friends in Israel that are being bombarded every day with these missiles and having to run to their bomb shelters. And, you know, I tell them all the time, I have the Red Alert app on my phone. And so that goes off whenever there's a missile warning in Israel. And I tell them every time I see that app go off, I pray for you. Because they are there. And if you've ever, I've been in Israel during the war, I've been to Gaza, I've been with the IDF troops. I've been there when the sirens are going off and you have to run for a shelter. It's scary.
Yes.
But to go there and, you know, my hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is that in this place called Israel, he has a plan. He is coming back again soon. He is coming back as the Jewish Messiah to sit on the Jewish throne of David. And the Bible says, he that watches over Israel neither slumbers or sleep. God's eternal promises are always for us. And we have so much hope in that, David.
Yes.
It's an amazing time to live in. If you understand the Bible and you look at the world around you, you can't help but say, wow, Jesus, he describes these days as the days with birthing pains, right? Birthing pains are pangs that increase with frequency and intensity. But out of that pain comes something beautiful and new. And that beautiful and new thing is going to be the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. Thank you for ending on that note, Brad. Our hope, as Hebrews paints the picture, this hope is an anchor to our soul.
Amen.
And I just thank you for all that you do. I do want to mention your websites again for people: comingsoonministries.substack.com. Also, he's on Facebook. You can look up Brad Reeves, and also on YouTube and his church, mycrossway.org, Crossway Christian Fellowship in Maryland. Brother, Lord willing, we will do this again. Maybe we will talk about law and order and maybe from a biblical perspective. Well, Lord willing, we'll see. But thanks for your time. Thanks for all you do. And kudos on the book. I pray that it continues to do well.
Well, David, thank you so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure. And I do look forward to that opportunity to talk about law and order in this world of law and disorder. Yes. And I just encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. Your ministry is so appreciated. And it's an honor to sit with you today.
Oh, praise God. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your brother. Thank you guys for watching and sharing the podcast. And thanks for your prayers and support. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. We'll see you next time.